Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ who have seen God's glory shown to us through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been 13 weeks now that we have been looking at the times of the Reformation and Martin Luther, the 1500s, over in Germany. For 13 weeks that we have been looking at a slice of Reformation history, a teaching of the Bible that was lost and clouded back then, and finding what that means for you and me today. Wonderful truths like how it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Scripture alone, we see how God's salvation becomes ours. What wonderful comforts we have in the Bible and the sacraments like baptism and Holy Communion. How we can serve our God in a multitude of different ways according to our Christian vocation. Can you believe all the theological ground that we've covered since June 18th when we started our worship series? Perhaps you're ready for a change. Maybe history isn't your thing. And I understand that. I won't take it personal in any way. But you are ready for us to start looking at the Bible without so much of a historical lens or a viewpoint. Perhaps you're sad because if you want to get your Reformation fix here at Grace Lutheran, there's only one way. Come into Pastor Kosalki's church history class on Wednesday. Whether you're ready for the change or not, whether this is your first Sunday here or you've been here each of the 13 past ones, I'm glad you're here today. Because it's this morning that we get to see where the Reformation points us when we know and believe the wonderful teachings, what it brings us to do, to bring the glory to God alone, and always to God. In our first lesson for this morning, we read from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, where mighty King David lets loose on this song of praise that seems to know no bound of how can we show God glory. But by reading it, you wouldn't know what led King David to commission this song. Well, let me tell you. Things were looking pretty good for King David finally. 5 years before, he had been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel, but the current king, Saul, he wasn't really willing to hand off the reins. Instead, he pursued David. He tried killing him, finding him. But he was unsuccessful with God's help. And now that 5 years had gone by, Saul had actually committed suicide in a battle. Rather than face defeat, he killed himself. So now that Saul was out of the picture, David could take the throne that was his from Samuel. He raised up a mighty army. He crushed Israel's enemies aside. He recaptured Jerusalem to be the seat of power, the capital city for the new kingdom. And it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We see all that coming together as they bring in the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem. The Ark, where for 400 plus years was God's presence and favor shown through it. And what better way to celebrate the coming of the Ark of the Covenant of Jerusalem, everything coming together, than this wonderful song of praise giving glory to God. But I wonder, as David looked out over the crowds, and all that had happened in those 5 years since he was anointed, how tempted was he to take some of that glory on that day and hold it to himself? If you think about it, if it wasn't for David and all that he did, there would be no ark coming into Jerusalem in the hands of the Israelites. In the 5 years that David was on the run, he 2 times had the chance to kill Saul. But he turned down those opportunities, rather placing into the Lord's hand when justice should be made. Who was it that gave the orders and commanded the troops to do the tactical formations and attack at the right places? It was King David. Who was it that organized the preparations for that wonderful day, bringing in the ark of commissioning the temple musicians to sing this wonderful song? It was King David. He had a large part of what was going on that day in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I wonder if you or I were King David on that day, would we take some of that glory to God and bring it to ourselves instead? It's human nature to glorify ourselves, to puff our chest up and show just how great we are. Maybe it'll be for the student who this upcoming school year decided to be organized and wise this time around and put all of their projects and tests on a schedule so they know when they need to start studying for the big tests, or at least when to start the project, so they're not rushing it last minute. And when they pass the test with flying colors, or they hand in the project without a single hint of stress on their mind, who's going to get the glory for that? Probably the student. And not much thinking for God, who gave the student the foresight to plan ahead, the mind to learn the facts that were needed. Maybe you're getting ready to reach up one of life's goals that you've been dreaming about since you were a child. You're going to move up the corporate ladder with a promotion of some kind. And when the time of celebration comes, who's going to get the glory? Most likely ourselves. Maybe as you look back at your life, you see all the ways that Satan has tried to tempt you and lead you away from Christ. What may have worked for other people and lead them away, well, that hasn't worked for you. You've beat them in each and every time. The Apostle Peter may call Satan a roaring lion, but to you he seems more like a whimpering kitty because he can't do anything to beat you and show you what's right. Who gets the glory for beating Satan? Is it God who has the power, or is it you and me? It's natural to bring glory to ourselves instead of showing it to God, because the more that we glorify God, the less there is for us to enjoy. But this life is not about glorifying ourselves. It's about giving the glory back to Him and living according to His will and what He has us. And that was true for our Savior as well. Jesus, who is God and has all the power and authority as God Himself, humbled Himself to be like you and me, except without sin. Came down from heaven to be a babe in Bethlehem, spent 33 years on this earth, living in a body like you and I do. I can only imagine just how different it must have been for Jesus to give up the full use of His divine power He had as God. I know how frustrating it is for me when I can't make full use of my body like I want to. Back in college, I was helping load some tables, and I was jumping from the truck, and I landed on my ankle wrong. I ended up spraining my ankle. Nothing serious, nothing, didn't go to the hospital for. But for a week or two, I couldn't put that much weight on it. I go up and down the steps, and I'd be wincing in pain. I was late to all my classes because I couldn't walk fast enough to get across campus. My professors weren't too happy with me. But after a week or two, my ankle got better, and I was able to make full use of it. But it was tough, and that was 2 weeks. Just such a simple little thing. I know many of you have gone through far worse troubles than a sprained ankle. You know how frustrating it is when you can't make full use of your mind or your body like how you used to. He would never choose to go through those hardships. And yet, for Jesus to choose to come down from heaven, to be here on earth, to give up so much more than we can begin to imagine, that's just something else. But what makes Jesus' humiliation of himself so remarkable isn't the fact that he gave up his powers as God, but why he did so, the reason for doing that. To save sinners like you and me. So that we may glorify God for what we have seen and received. For it's in Christ that we see the glory of God come to full fruition. Because God, he wasn't content just to simply make this world and then just watch it from a distance. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to live among us, to walk among us, to live under the law that you and I are condemned by, to be our Savior. And it's in the gospel which we read from John chapter 7 where Jesus shows how he too is glorifying God. Jesus says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. That your believing children may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. God's punishment for sin is death. He declares that the soul that sins is the soul that's going to die. You and I have sinned many times. By not giving glory to God as he deserves or taking his glory for ourselves, you and I deserve to die. But the time had come for Jesus to step in as our Savior, to die on that cross, to receive God's punishment for our sins. So there may be forgiveness for you and for me. So that there may be life waiting in life eternal waiting for us in heaven. Indeed, in Christ we see the love of God and we see the true glory of God shown to sinners like you and me. So go to your Lord and repent of your sins. So you may receive his forgiveness and be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Glorify God because he is the only one who can make you righteous and holy in his sight. When good things happen to you, glorify God by saying a prayer of thanksgiving. For giving you the mind, the ability, the skills, the whatever you name it, to get what you are gunning for, to get that dream that you have received. Glorify God alone because he is the one who fights Satan for us. To make us strong in temptation. Go to his word and study it. So when you are tempted by your nature, your sinful nature, by Satan, you can turn him down. Show the love of Christ instead. Indeed, it is God alone that we are to glorify because he alone gives us such wonderful and precious gifts. And it's God that we are always to glorify. This be something that even the most veteran, the most experienced of Christians has to struggle with. Because just because we start off on the right foot today doesn't mean that we are guaranteed to glorify God each and every moment of our lives. Sinful nature inside of us. Satan with his temptations. Look at King David, who started off on the right foot as we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Giving such praise to God, giving all the glory to him for all these wonderful things that David had done for God. But in the 40 years that he ruled as king of Israel, he had his low moments. Times when he kept the credit to himself. And he suffered for it. And all of Israel with him as well. For you and I to continue giving glory to God, how Satan says that how our God has changed over the times. And there may have been reasons to glorify him back in David's time in 1000 BC or with the reformers in 1500 AD. But nowadays, where is God today? I point you to the four reasons that King David tells us, eternal truths of why we continue glorifying God each and every day. He says, first of all, King David says that there is no God like our God. You name it. Whatever kingdom, whatever force, government, power, idea, it pales in comparison to the strength, the wisdom, and the love that our God has for you and for me. Second, because not only has our Lord created this world, but he's so firmly established it that nothing can happen without his control. He keeps it running altogether, even though it tries to fall apart. Third, because when we go to our Lord in prayer, he will listen and he will answer us. Whether it's your sins that are terrifying you, or something in this world that is pressing you down, go to your God in prayer. He'll give you the strength to endure that hardship, or he'll take you away from the hardship so it doesn't bother you anymore. He'll reassure you that you are in the safety of his loving arms, both in this life and the life to come. And the fourth reason, because the Lord will make all things right when he comes to judge the living and the dead. No matter where you are in this world, no matter how strong or weak your faith is, if you believe that Jesus is your Savior from sin, you will be with him in eternity. He won't look over you. He won't forget you. For you are his. But there's a fifth reason that believers today get to look at. The cross that Christ died on. What King David looked forward to, you and I live in the shadow of. The cross where our Savior received the full punishment of all of our sins to give us his forgiveness. That's not just a one-time deal. That's each and every day. Glorify God always. For he has created this world and preserves it each and every day. He's given you your Savior and faith to believe in him so that you may be his child and have forgiveness of all your sins. When you hold glory to yourself, he will lift you up with his love when you stumble along the path, wondering how can you be good enough for God? He's there for you. Martin Luther and the Reformers, they knew just how wonderful God is. And all that they did in the 1500s was a great deal good for all Christendom. For bringing back the pure teaching of the gospel and what our Lord says in his very own word. But they didn't take the credit for themselves. For they knew that they were tools of God. He was working through them. And perhaps nothing better sums up this glorifying heart to God than what Luther said in a sermon back in 1522. He says, "In short, I will preach the gospel, teach it, write it, but I will constrain no one by force, for faith must come freely without compulsion. Take myself as an example. I oppose indulgences and all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." It's God who gets the glory. It's God who gives us our minds and our talents. It's God who gives us our Savior and forgiveness. So to the one who gives us everything, we give the glory back to. I pray that you've enjoyed these past 13 weeks or first week looking at our Reformation worship series. The wonderful truths of God that have come back to light and learn how they apply to you and me today, just as they did back in the 1500s. But I pray most of all that you and I may have this heart that gives glory to God in all that we do. For as God the glory goes to God alone, and to God always. Amen.